If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Hebrews chapter 12 and follow along, please, with me, beginning at verse 3. Hebrews 12 and verse 3. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here, so that your word might have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. Take your word, your servant. May we handle it accurately, communicate it clearly. Teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, some of you will remember that we finished last week with verse 3. In fact, our introduction this morning is, in fact, our conclusion from last week, where the writer says, "For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Remember, the author of the book, Hebrews, has in mind first Jewish Christians. That's why this book is so Jewish. So much Old Testament recollection and foundation. He's speaking specifically to those Jews who have recognized Jesus as the Christ, as the Redeemer, as the one that the prophets promised. But having done so, they are beginning to experience persecution. Now, it hasn't gotten rough. It's nothing like what Jesus experienced. But they're struggling with family, criticisms. They're struggling at work. They're struggling in their community. These are people who, if they're allowed, they're still going to synagogue. They still love being with their Jewish family and their Jewish friends. They love reading what we call the Old Testament and hearing those stories. And when they read the prophets, they're so encouraged to see that, yes, Jesus fulfills all of that. But more and more, they're not welcome in the synagogue. They're not even welcome in the homes, in some cases, of their Jewish family and friends. And that's causing some of them to rethink the decision they have made. All I have to do is deny Jesus, and I'll be welcome again. The book of Hebrews is written to encourage them in their faith, to remind them again of who Jesus is, to remind them again of all that the prophets promised and how perfectly Jesus fulfilled those promises. So he says, don't grow weary and lose heart. And with that then offers three truths about discipline, or the role of discipline in the life of the believer. And as we work our way through, especially these next verses, the heart of this, 4, 5, and 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. As we work through the heart of this, I believe you will see that discipline represents perhaps two distinct, different, but connected ideas. First of all, within the synagogue, within the church, discipline had come to mean, or to include, all that we do because we are who we are. Within the Jewish community, within the synagogue, all that God had commanded Israel to do, all the feasts, all the festivals, all of that, to remember their history, that's a discipline. For the church, the discipline revolves around Scripture, reading God's Word, prayer, fellowship with other believers. All of that is discipline. Things that we do because we are who we are, they flow out of who we are, and it encourages us in our walk, in our growth, in our maturity, in our maturing. We'll see, for instance, the example of our earthly fathers, our earthly parents, if you will. There are things, disciplines, that they encouraged us in. Things that we, in time, learned to do every day because they were good for us. They were necessary for our well-being. Those are disciplines. But discipline also includes the consequences of the bad choices that we make. Punishment, if you will, or redirection. I immediately thought of Psalm 23 and verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. Remember what comes next? Your rod and your staff comfort me. One of the ways in which we know God is with us, the writer of Hebrews will say, one of the ways in which we know the God of the universe is our Heavenly Father is that He will freely use the rod and the staff when He needs to. One is designed to get our attention. Sometimes that takes more than at other times. When things don't go well for me, when I'm feeling badly, one of the questions I have to ask is, Father, are you trying to get my attention? Have I been ignoring you? Is there something I need to be listening a little more closely to? Now, is that always the case? No. Sometimes I'm just sick. Sometimes I'm just having a bad day. But sometimes God's trying to get my attention. And there have been times in my life when it's taken more than that. But he's gotten my attention because he's my heavenly Father. And he will only let me go so far before he brings me back. That's what the staff is for. You know, the little crook on the end? And then move me in the right way. Why? Because he's not going to let me go, but only so far. Why? Because I'm his. So that's a part of discipline also. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it hurts. Consequences can be challenging. The first truth about discipline: those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Verse 4 says, "You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood, and you're striving against sin." It's not gotten as bad as it could. It's not gotten as bad as it will. We're not far from the time when believers will lay down their lives for their faith. Interestingly enough, as long as the church was largely Jewish, the persecution would not come from Rome, because Rome, in its wisdom, looked at Israel and looked at the Jews and said, you know, they kind of take care of themselves. Let's let them take care of themselves, and as long as that keeps the peace, the Pax Romana, as long as peace persists, leave them alone. Let them do as they please. They've got strange ideas, strange customs, but they're not causing any problems. For a long time, the church was under that umbrella. So the first persecution did not come from Rome. It came from the Jews. First, toward Jewish believers, and then toward Gentile believers. At this point, that's all it is: pressure. You haven't resisted to the point of shedding blood yet, but it will happen. In the midst of your struggle, you've forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. And then he quotes Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges. I went back and looked. I'm not really sure why the author in Hebrews used the word scourges, or even why my translators did. But in the book of Proverbs, if you read it, there it says, and he corrects. So that's what this is about. He corrects every son whom he receives. Does it require scourging from time to time? Yes, because again, he will get my attention. It may just take a tap on the shoulder. It may take a smack, but he will get my attention. So perhaps the broader, better word is correct. He will only let me go so far before he does whatever it takes to bring me back. The writer of Hebrews is saying, you've forgotten that. Don't be surprised when discipline comes. It may come because of your faith. It may come because of the lack of your faith. Challenges will come. The closer we live to Christ, the more Christ-like we become, the more of a threat we are to Satan, and he has ways of dealing with us. But the more we question our faith, the further we move away from Christ. Our Heavenly Father will only let us go so far before he does whatever he needs to bring us back. Don't forget that, he's saying. The challenges will come, whether it is to your living correctly, living obediently, the challenges from the world, or making sinful, wrong choices, or even leaning in the wrong direction, discipline will come to bring you back into line. How important is it? Well, discipline proves our connection. Proves our connection to God. It is for discipline, verse 7, excuse me. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? And see how that word really does, even in verse 7, kind of bounce back and forth from the disciplines of those activities that we do because we are who we are, that encourage us in our faith, reading scripture, praying, spending time with other believers, living out our faith, and also then when we're disobedient, when we stray. In either way, our Heavenly Father is involved, just like our earthly fathers were involved. But if you are without discipline, verse 8, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Am I the only one, or did any of you ever have your mother or your father say, when you objected to something and referred to your friends, say, "Well, I'm not their father. I'm not their mother." Like that got them off the hook and me on it. Okay? If you seem to be able to get away with almost anything, that needs to at least be a flashing yellow light that the God of the universe is not your father. Because he knows who are his, he claims them, and he disciplines them. Furthermore, verse 9, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? To our heavenly Father, the one who is responsible for the fact that we are his. He loved us that much. God so loved the world that he gave his only unique son. He loves us that much. He's given everything for us. If our earthly fathers worked so very hard to encourage, to challenge, to bring us up, how much more will our heavenly fathers? Whether it's for correction or for consequences, discipline proves our connection. Then finally, in verses 10 and 11, you can be absolutely sure of this, he disciplines us for our good. Every once in a while I see this in a movie or a TV show. Usually somebody's trying to be funny, speaking of how somebody seems to be having a difficult day, a difficult time, and somebody says something to the effect, "Doesn't it seem like God's just messing with him?" One thing you can be absolutely sure, that God never messes with his children. There is nothing you and I go through that does not have purpose. Now, I've had to ask from time to time, "Lord, what is it I'm supposed to be learning here?" And more than once, I've come to the conclusion it was something I could have learned earlier if I'd taken better notes, if I'd remembered. Regularly, I'm praying, "Lord, please don't make me need to do this again or go through this again as a result of sin, disobedience, a lack of faith." But what I can be absolutely sure of is it's always for my own good. "For they disciplined us," referring to the earthly fathers in verse 10, "for they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them." My father didn't get it right all the time. I don't get it right all the time. Didn't get it right all the time. Not really much of my responsibility anymore. But the end of verse 10 says, he disciplines us for our good. And look at that. Why? So, or because we share his holiness. Whether we're called to perfection, we're called to holiness, will we get it perfectly here? No. But we need to be moving in that direction. Holiness reminds us who we belong to, and we should be looking like it and acting like it. And he loves it when we become more and more like Jesus. When we study the Gospels, and we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount on Wednesday night, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, when we study passages like that, and we see Jesus, and we see him taking Scripture and applying it to the lives of believers, the purpose is so that we can become more like him in the way we think and in the way we act. That's what he wants. And so he disciplines us for our good, disciplines us with that in mind. And to state the obvious, verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. And that's certainly true when we have to deal with the consequences of bad choices. I had to do that plenty of times growing up. And you know, if I had learned all of those lessons then that my father was trying to teach me then, my heavenly father wouldn't still be needing to teach me some of those same lessons. It wasn't joyful, wasn't easy. But then to interject this idea of the disciplines, he says, yet to those who have been trained by it, those who've learned the lessons that needed to come, those who've learned the value of regularly being in God's Word, those who've learned the value of prayer, as Paul says, practicing the very presence of God, realizing that we are always there and we can immediately at any point speak with him, share with him. The discipline of prayer and the discipline and joy of communion and community. Remember, we were challenged by this writer as he challenged those Jewish Christians. Don't neglect gathering together. There's encouragement there. There's accountability there. We regularly pray that our being together will challenge and encourage us, right? And as a result of the challenging and encouraging, we can better know how to pray for one another. Trained by it. And as a result, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness, the writer says. The peaceful fruit of right choices. And that's where we want to be, right? We want our lives characterized by making right choices. Righteousness. Choices that please our Heavenly Father. Therefore, verses 12 and 13, our conclusion this morning, strengthen the hands that are weak, and the knees that are feeble. I'm not there yet. You're not there yet either. We all have weaknesses. We all have failures. We all miss the mark from time to time. The literal translation is sin. We all fall short. The solution, verse 13, make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Again, looking to God's word. knowing what he expects of us, knowing what the right choices are, taking the disciplines that we've learned, learning from the discipline that God brings into our lives as a perfect Heavenly Father, and growing and maturing. We've looked at Proverbs 3, 11, and 12, but let me remind you of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Same idea. Sometimes it's only one step at a time, but He will make sure you know where to take those steps. Why? Because He's a perfect Father who wants to encourage you in holiness and making right choices. Why? Because you're His. And He wants you to look more and more like Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately, communicated it clearly, so that you can challenge those of us who need to be challenged, encourage those of us who need to be encouraged, and perhaps for most of us, a little bit of both. We're doing well, but we could do better. We've wondered why you've been challenging us. Maybe this is why. May we pay a little closer attention to what you're doing in our lives. May we learn from the disciplines you've set before us and the discipline you use with us to make us more like your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.